Thousands of grandparents are under financial, emotional and health pressure as they care for their grandchildren. A new report commissioned by the Grandparents Raising Grandchildren Trust paints a picture of the situation facing what is thought to be as many as 10,000 families. Researcher Jill Worrell says in some instances caregivers are going to bed hungry as they struggle to feed their growing grandchildren. On the positive side, she says children placed with grandparents are demonstrating improved physical and psychological health. It's an issue we followed for many years on 9 to Noon. And we update you now. Jill Worrell's with us in our Auckland studio. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Catherine.
You first surveyed grandparents caring for grandchildren 4 years ago and you found a group struggling financially and emotionally. Has the situation improved at all?
Well, Catherine, in actual fact, the results this time do show a slight improvement. In other words, we've got fewer people earning under $20,000 a year. However, having said that, there are issues that also contribute to the fact that they can still be seen as being in a low income bracket.
What are the sorts of incomes that most are getting? How often is it state support of some kind or their own income? What's the picture?
Well, Catherine, we are really, really happy to say that Child, Youth and Family have now raised the board payment for the unsupported child allowance up to the level of foster carers. And that, I believe that, bringing this issue out into the open by the 2005 survey has actually contributed to that.
So this long-running campaign, which we've covered on the program, which
yes.
it's crazy, a foster carer who's no relation to the child got paid more than a family member who agreed to care for the child or to foster the child. That's now gone. They earn the same amount?
It's almost the same amount. I would say for a 14-year-old, when you take into account the other benefits that foster caregivers get, that a 14-year-old, a grandparent caring for a 14-year-old would be about $2,500 a year worse off than if the child was not related to them. But, you know, it's still a vast improvement and people are very, very pleased about that.
However, what does your latest research show about how grandparents are faring financially, the sorts of circumstances they're typically in and how they're doing?
Yeah, I must say when you do some research like this, there are always some big surprises. And when I read, as you intimated before, when I read grandparents saying that they go to bed hungry and they wish they weren't, or that they've had to cut down their own food and they're losing weight because their grandchildren are growing and becoming teenagers and eating like a horse, as we know they do, it's still a shock. You don't expect that to be like that in our society, but it is.
There are some who are literally, well, starving themselves.
Well, they're not, let's say they must be getting below adequate nutrition. I don't know whether they're actually, whether we could say starving, but they certainly are having to have reduced circumstances because, you know, having children costs a lot of money. And we know that also that grandparents are on a reduced level of income, that most of them are, or a lot of them indeed, are getting superannuation and living on that. And as well as that, a lot of them have to pay rent. So
50 to 70, most of these carers?
Aged
50 to 70, most of these carers.
Yes, we had some that were 80 plus, believe it
gosh,
or not.
Gosh.
We had a couple of great grandparents, believe it or not. The poorest section that came up in the survey was single carers, and single carers, actually, in terms of marital status, there are a lot, and this is also reflected in international research, that there are many more single carers than in kinship care than there are in foster care. And so, you know, we had only 61% of our sample were actually partnered and the rest were all singled for one reason or another.
So right at the time of life where they might be needing to pare back on their spending, they've got the reverse going on. They've got a hungry and growing mouth to feed and clothe. Or
yes,
mouths indeed.
They have. And where separation has taken place, and maybe this isn't the only reason, but where grandparents have separated, and I have to say another shock in the survey, although it came out last time, but more strongly this time, that 13.7% of the of the sample said that they had separated from their partner because they'd taken the children.
So the pressure of fostering these children had effectively led or exacerbated and led to the breakup of a marriage.
Yes, led or exacerbated. Some people said, it was this relationship was right to end, but others said, that it was a shock, but they knew that they'd done the right thing. But the trickle-down effect of that, of course, is that then they're looking at renting housing often, and we know that the costs of that are enormous. And some of the grandparents said, one of the questions we asked this time, we put quite a section, it's a qualitative and quantitative review, and we put quite a section into asking people to make comments about what they wished for themselves. And quite a few people said, look, all I want is some kind of permanence in living arrangements. Mm.
Well, that's one of the issues to come to in a minute is their legal protection. But just while we stay with the finances, you've tracked how much the cost will have gone up over a certain number of years. The CPI has gone up how much? I think around 17% over 6 years?
Yes, yes, yes.
But even though they've now got this similar amount to other foster carers, presumably it's not inflation indexed. It's not going up at the same rate.
No, and I think that, the amount that it has gone up compared to the 2005 survey is really only minimum. In 2005, 41% of the survey families were recorded as receiving under $20,000 per annum, which was a real shock. And this time it's down to 22%, which looks enormous. The next load were at 25% between 21 and 30, which is still very low.
So they might have just tipped over your cutoff point.
Exactly.
Let me ask you, though, about this. If they are caring for their children's children, in the event of a marriage separation, there is a legal requirement on partners to support financially. Does the same thing happen here? Does the parent who is not caring for the child have any legal obligation to financially support?
Well, look, I'm sorry, I really can't tell you that because really it's an interesting question and one we should be following up. But I do know that the parents of the child, of course, the parents of the children should be supporting, adding to their income. But when we look at why the children come into care, we can see that that's probably not going to happen.
Well, they may be in prison in some instances.
They may be in prison a lot. The major reason, again, almost the same as last time, the major reason for children coming into care was drug addiction.
You write also, and actually we shouldn't leave that point, because if one is legally required out of a benefit or out of any other payment to support a child that they're not living with, it is a fair question to ask of these parents who are, for whatever circumstance, unable to physically care.
It is, and only work and income can tell you how successful that is in getting that money. I should say it's probably not very successful because we know that the parents, if they're unable to care, they're probably in straitened circumstances.
You write also about the grief of the grandparents.
Yes.
One thing for them to be in a financial circumstance that's difficult at a stage of their life where they didn't expect to be raising children again, let alone children who may have complicated problems. There's also the grief that they're likely to have experienced over what's happened to their own child.
Absolutely. You know, I think this is one of the major areas where children placed with extended family stands apart from foster care, and I honestly believe it's not recognised enough. What I found in the research I've done, and I've done quite a bit in this area, is that there's a ribbon of grief that runs through the whole family situation. You know, the children grieve for their parents. Every child wants to be raised by its biological parents, and they want that to be a happy, normal family. So there's that grief. There's the grief of the grandparents that their child is either in prison, on drugs, dead, or whatever. And, you know, those two kind of griefs really collide. And often that grief is kind of an unspoken grief. It's put your shoulders back and push on. And grandparents have said things like, you know, that they attend to their grandchildren's grief, but they find it really hard to attend to their own because of the pressure that's put on them in this caring role. So, yes.
They're often, as we said, they could be dealing with extreme behavioural conditions, and your report alludes to it.
Oh,
it might be caused by fetal alcohol syndrome, might be caused by shaken baby syndrome, which you mentioned specifically.
Yes.
Is that significant in many of these cases?
Well, the reasons why children come to care, a lot of the children, as you saw in the report, the grandparents report them having psychological and physical issues. And so, yes, it's very prevalent. Any child who in actual fact has suffered the trauma of abuse or neglect is going to have physical and psychological issues to some degree or another. So obviously these grandparents, it's not like suddenly taking care of your own grandchild. These children have usually been through a lot. However, it's interesting to note that a lot of these grandparents have actually taken care since birth or in that first year. And those children who are taken care of in the first year have a better chance of not suffering, of course.
It's one of the points that you raise here. It is, you've looked for the first time at the outcome. And what have you found about the success of the intervention of grandparents in these children's lives?
I mean, I think that was absolutely wonderful because the stability afforded the children has led to a reported considerable level of improvement in the children's physical and psychological health. And, you know, 86% said that that their children had actually improved over that time. And I think that is really speaks to the resilience of the caregivers because these children are not easy. And the later they come into the grandparents' care, the more likely they are to be difficult, and the more likely it is that it'll be difficult to resolve the issues.
How does it compare with success rates, if that's the right word to use, but with some of the measures you might use with non-kin foster homes, with families unknown to the children?
Well, look, I'm sorry, Catherine, I have to say that New Zealand is not good at capturing data on children in foster care, and we really don't know. And I think that it's time that New Zealand really put some money aside to be able to do some really good research about what happens to children when they actually go into care. But one of the things that is interesting is that some recent data has come out from Child, Youth and Family about the numbers of placements that children experience in any one year. And compared to the kin caregivers, the children in foster care suffer so many more placements. The data that's just come out of Child, Youth and Family says that you know, that for children 0 to 2 years, 44 children had 4 placements, 19 had 5, and 69 of 0 to 2-year-olds had between that 4 and 7.
This is 0 to 2-year-olds moving between 4 and 7 homes?
Yeah, that's right. 69 of them had between 4 and 7 homes. I mean, we've got to look at this conservatively because it may be that those children were back to parents and back into care, and every move is counted, or they might have gone for respite care to a respite caregiver or something. But the older the children get, then let me tell you, the more the placements. And overall, 445 children had 4 placements, 257 had 5, and so it goes on.
Much more stable in the kin care. What you also point out in the report is that it's a situation that's only going to grow, that societal changes mean there's a declining number of families prepared to care this way at the very same time as the need grows.
Absolutely.
But let's come back to that point you raised about the security for these grandparents, and particularly if they're looking at a baby or looking after a baby almost from birth. What sort of legal rights or protections or vulnerabilities do they face, and what is your comment on it?
Well, they face challenges by the biological parents. And I must say that under the Care of Children Act now, that judges have now have the ability to turn away continual capricious challenges, and that's wonderful. But certainly these grandparents face challenges. And it's interesting also to know how many grandparents actually take care of these children informally. In other words, over one-third of our respondents initially took the child through an informal agreement with the child's parents and without any intervention of Child, Youth and Family. So if they don't have any formal status, then there's nothing to stop a parent from coming in and taking the child. However, a lot of those parents then take a legal status, but there are still something like 18% that still have no legal status, and they're very vulnerable.
Would not the Guardianship Act provide for them?
If they took guardianship under the Guardianship Act. However, I have to say that unless those children have been involved with Child, Youth and Family, they're not going to get any legal help from the state to do that, and it costs a lot of money.
Thank you, and we're talking probably at least 10,000 people, aren't we? 10,000 families.
We know, and this is another area we really don't have data in, but we know that 7,743 people received the unsupported child benefit. But we also know, as I said before, that there are a lot of people who do it informally and don't do anything.
Thank you for your time. Jill Worrell with the new report, Grandparents Raising Grandchildren Trusts report on the status of, as we said, possibly 10,000 families where there are family members caring, perhaps for grandchildren in many cases. They have, however, the good news is they have finally achieved near parity with non-family foster carers in terms of state income. And the other positive news is how well many seem to be doing against the odds.